Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. I appreciate the songs that Brian has led us in this morning. We did not coordinate together about the songs being connected with the sermon in any kind of way, but they will marvelously dovetail into some of our thoughts today as we study about this topic of faith. You notice our songs kind of had a little bit of a theme to them concerning Jesus' life. We sang about Jesus' birth, we sang about His death, we sang about the resurrection, and we sang about His return. And in a very fine fashion, the life of Jesus is summed up to help us understand how our faith is so connected and so vitally connected to everything about Jesus Christ. As we think about faith, obviously, I suppose the first place that our minds would go to in the Scripture is Hebrews chapter 11. This year, we have been reading through the Bible together as a congregation, and each Sunday, we have looked at a lesson that was from something in the previous week's reading. This last week, part of our reading took us on a journey through the book of Hebrews. And so this morning, we want to spend some time, actually this morning and this evening, looking at a couple of lessons from the book of Hebrews about faith. Really, when you boil it down to it, there are many ways you can define faith, and we're going to read the biblical definition of faith in just a moment. But if you just want to sum up everything that the Bible has to say about faith, you can kind of boil it down to two words: trust God. And really, that's what we're going to study about today, and that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is about. It's about people who trusted God. Trust God was their mantra. It was their motto of life. It was what they believed. It was what they followed. And it should be that way for each and every one of us today. This study that we're about to engage in, we're going to divide it into two parts. And in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to see, number one, there is a definition of faith, and number two, there is the demonstration of faith. And so, looking at Hebrews 11 with those two guiding thoughts in mind, definition and demonstration, let us begin with number one, the definition of faith. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, as we take this first major point in studying about faith, we want to see that it is divided, the definition is divided into two parts. First, there is the fact that, number one, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then secondly, the evidence of things not seen. And as we think about the definition of faith, let's break down those two phrases for just a moment and think about them. Faith, number one, is the substance of things hoped for. You may have a translation that words this slightly differently than the New King James that I'm reading from today. But you may have a footnote that gives you some idea about what these words mean. When it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, it means the realization. It means the foundation. Faith is the foundation, the realization, the substance of things that are hopeful. As Christians, we hope for many things. There are many things regarding the Christian life that cause us to have a great deal of hope. As you look at the Scriptures, you will see that there are things we hope for. Here are just three. Number one, we hope for Jesus' return. We know there are many Scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, basically that entire chapter, talks about the return of Jesus. And that's something that as a Christian that we hope for. We have not yet realized it, but we have a substance. We have a foundation. We have a realization. This is something we hope for. Jesus' return. Number two, we hope for our own resurrection. We know that Jesus talked about the resurrection of the evil and the good in John chapter 5. The Bible is full of many places in the New Testament particularly that talk about the resurrection of all mankind and judgment day. But that's a tremendous hope that gives us something of substance. So, Jesus returned, our resurrection. Number three, here's something else that we hope for. Redemption. We hope for our redemption, our salvation. Jesus has given us commands and promises in the Scripture. God has given us promises and commands in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit has recorded the words of God and the words of Jesus in the Scripture, replete with commands and promises. Promises about our salvation. Promises about what God will do for us when we trust Him and we obey Him. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Notice what Jesus said. He who believes, faith. He who believes and is immersed shall be saved. That's our redemption. That's our salvation. And we have great hope in that. Hope, as it's used in the Scriptures, is a word that means confidence, expectation. We use the word in a very negative sense many times when we're talking about it. We use it in the sense of, well, you know, all we have left is hope, or, I sure hope this happens, but we say it in such a way and such a mindset that we don't expect it to happen at all. And yet the Bible uses the word hope as a confident expectation. Faith is the foundation, the realization, the confidence of things hoped for. Something that we have a confident expectation about. And we find all of this in God's Word. We find all of this in the Bible. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So where do I find faith? How do I put this definition into a working progress for my heart, mind, soul, and body? Read your Bible. And that's where you find all these things that we have hope in. That's where you find all of these things as the foundation of our hope. That's how you define what faith is, and that's how you live by faith. But it's also, as we look at the definition, the evidence of things not seen. And that kind of breaks itself down in a couple of ways. There are things that we have not seen that are what some would call metaphysical. And there are things which we have not seen that we would also define as historical. When I talk about the metaphysical, things we have not seen, I'm talking about things like heaven, God Himself, Hades, the realm of the dead. There are many things that we know by faith to exist, but we have not seen them. There are also many things that we, by faith, know happened historically, although we did not witness them. I did not see the children of Israel cross the Red Sea on dry ground, but I believe that historical event happened. I did not see Daniel thrown into the lion's den and walk out alive, but I believe that happened. The song that we sang a few moments ago said, "We saw thee not." But then how does the next phrase? But we believe. I did not see Jesus' death on the cross, but I believe it happened. I did not with my own eyes witness the resurrection of Jesus when He came out of the tomb, but I believe that it happened. You see, faith is not only the substance of things hoped for, but in the second part, it is the evidence of things not seen. How do I know the metaphysical really exists? How do I know the historical really happened? Because I put my hope and trust and confidence in this book that's established as divinely inspired and authored by the Spirit of God. And I live by faith. And so this book is where I find my faith. Faith comes by hearing, absorbing, listening, comprehending, applying. And you find all of that in this book. And so if you want to have better faith, bigger faith, bolder faith, pick up your Bible and read it. And read it every single day. We have been reading the Bible together as a congregation this year. And how very appropriate, as we are nearing the very end of this year and nearing the completion of reading through the Scriptures together as a congregation, that we are studying about faith. Because I hope this year, I hope as now we are approaching the very end of 2018, that you have better faith than you had January 1st of this year. I hope you have bigger faith than you had January 1st this year. I hope you have bolder faith than you had January 1st this year, because you have been reading the source that finds and gives you that faith. So, faith, definition, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. But now let's move to our second major point, where we analyze Hebrews 11, and let's think about the demonstration of faith. And as you look at the remainder of the chapter, you'll see that there is a vivid demonstration of person after person, man of God and woman of God after man of God and woman of God in these passages, many of them named, some of them unnamed but alluded to, some a lot of details given, some very few details given, who were demonstrations of faith. These were the people. These are the people that the Holy Spirit of God selected to give to you and me as a demonstration of faith. Look, if you will, for just a moment, not at Hebrews 11, but at the first verse or two of Hebrews 12. You know, on our banner up here, we've been focusing this year as well. And part of what we've been doing this year is looking each month at least one lesson from the book of Hebrews. And today, our Bible reading together and a lesson from what we have read the previous week, and our theme from this year about focus, which comes from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2, converge together in this lesson. And we see that in regard to all of these individuals that we're about to spend a little bit of time discussing and thinking about, Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Apparently, that is a reference to all of these individuals in Hebrews 11. That's the great cloud of witnesses that the Spirit of God has provided for us, not only to give us a definition of faith, but a demonstration of faith. And the greatest culmination of faith is found, as you continue reading the rest of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, in Jesus Christ. Since we have this great cloud of witnesses, then what? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which also easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, it's all ultimately about Jesus. Who He is, what He did, and what He's still doing at this very moment for each and every one of us. But marvelously demonstrated and illustrated through the pages and the verses of chapter 11, we see this wonderful application of faith by men and women of God throughout history. First of all, I want you to see that there are several individual examples. There are at least 13 people who are mentioned here by name. And there is a prepositional phrase that says, by faith, that in verses 4 through about verse 31 will occur several different times. 15, 16, 17 different times. And it's directly tied into about 13 specific individuals. As you read through those verses, which we will in just a moment, you will see that we will see faith demonstrated, illustrated by Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, Moses himself, Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, and Israel, when they conquered Jericho, and Rahab. Individuals are collective groups of individuals, such as the nation of Israel, who did what they did by faith. Again, as we read, follow along, Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, though through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. As you continue reading, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is in the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, not having seen, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what verse 13 is about. For those, verse 14, who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "And Isaac, your seed, shall be called." Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons in Joseph and worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, or the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to his reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Remember, Hebrews 11:1, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Moses saw him who was invisible. By faith, verse 28, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies in peace. You see, here are at least 13 individuals, or a collective group of individuals, such as the nation of Israel, that are specifically mentioned and as an illustration, as a demonstration of what faith really is. You see, you read the definition in verses 1 through 3, you see it in practice in verses 4 through following. And here, we see very specifically mentioned people who did what they did by faith. People who did what they did. Why? Because they had trust in God. But you keep reading in the chapter, and there are several more general examples, I guess we might call them, that are given. 6 of them by name, 9 of them that apparently are referred to or alluded to that we can know from our knowledge of the Old Testament. The individual that is being referred to, but maybe the name is not mentioned here. But as you keep reading in verse 32 and following to the end of the chapter, you'll see also mentioned here Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, these are men who were judges, David the king, Samuel the prophet, and last of the judges. There also seems to be references here in this last part of the chapter to Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace of fire, Elijah and Elisha escaping the wrath of those who were opposed to them, Hezekiah in praying on his deathbed. There seems to be a reference here to those ladies that lived during the times of the prophets, and Zarephath and Shunem, and the blessings that they received. There are references made to people whose names we don't know, who are individuals, obviously, that lived and by inspiration of the Holy Spirit are included here. But it talks about people who were imprisoned, those who were stoned, those who were deprived, and those who were mocked. As you look at the Scriptures in verse 32, Hebrews 11, verse 32, we read to the remainder of the chapter, the Bible says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell." Now, stop for just a moment there. There is speculation on the part of some that the book of Hebrews may have originally been an oral presentation. It may have originally been a sermon. because it does not have a beginning like a typical letter does in the first century when you compare it to the other epistles, the letters in the New Testament. It reads more like something that's being spoken rather than something that's being written. I don't know if that's the case or not. I know it's an inspired message from the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm sufficiently content with that. But those who say that maybe it was a sermon to start with, among other places, will point to this verse and say, notice the author says, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell." That sounds just like a preacher, doesn't it? You know, he says, "Time would fail me to tell of this," and then what did he do? He goes and tells you anything. So maybe this could have been a sermon to start with. I don't know. But I know it's a presentation of the Spirit of God. So time would fail me to tell of who? As you keep reading in verse 32, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the enemy. Women received their dead raised from life again. Others were tortured and accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You see those last two verses, especially verse 39, the next and last verse, they did all of what they did by faith, having not received the promises. Remember what we said faith is about? If you want to boil it down to two simple words, trust God. These were people who did just that. Faith is a way of life. Faith is not just a one-time event. Faith is a way of life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and Romans chapter 1, verse 17, quote a very familiar Old Testament passage that tells us the just shall live by faith. Faith is a way of life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, tells us, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Faith is a way of life. We have looked at this passage this morning and seen it defined and seen it demonstrated. We have seen from the pages of Scripture those who demonstrated faith. And we know that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses to encourage us to lay aside those sins and those weights that so easily ensnare us, and to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, that you and I might be the author and finisher of our own faith. Faith is a way of life, and you live your life by faith. We have read about people who demonstrated faith. Will you? Will I? Do you need to? Do you need to demonstrate faith that trusts God to take Him at His word for your salvation? To trust God that is demonstrated and taught in His word that will bring you from the point of being lost to being saved. When you believe Him, you have faith in Him, you trust Him, and you do what He says. You turn from your sins. You acknowledge Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you're immersed in His name because you trust God. Because Jesus said, "He who is immersed shall be saved." You trust God. Don't take my word for it. Trust God. Demonstrate your faith. Demonstrate it this morning if you need to as we stand and we sing. Would you please come?